Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendes. Hope you guys are all well on your Thursday evening on this week's show. Then let's look back at the 3-1 win at Cheltenham Town. And more importantly, I finally break my away day duck. And of course, ahead to Saturday's home game with Carlisle United at the Valley, as the Addicts look to continue this decent run of form that we're on now. 6 games without a defeat, 2 wins in our last 3 as well. We are climbing away from the relegation places. Joining me to discuss both those games, first up, top right, Joe Puddyfoot. How you doing, Joe?
Yeah, very good, and absolutely relieved that you've broken your hoodoo and you can stop paying for the security guards. That's it's got to be a record, isn't it? Miles travelled without seeing a win away.
Yeah, worth every penny, those security guards, because both Northampton and on Saturday, the amount of people telling me to turn around and go home was remarkable. But I shut them up, didn't I? And also, bottom of the screen there is Lewis Cat. How you doing, Lou?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Thank you. All good. Equally as happy that you've broken your hoodoo, because you go to so many games. If you were never going to break that duck, then the only way is down. So I'm glad that that's been saved a little bit now. Only way is up.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed that'll be the case. Yeah, and I do apologise once again for my 11-month winless run on the road. So on tonight's show, then we'll listen back to the goals from Tuesday. We're going to hear, of course, from the Addicts boss, Nathan Jones, after that game. We're going to hear from Alfie May briefly as well, just to talk about the fact that he did score against his former club, and he's on a hopefully turning the corner in front of goal once more. So we'll hear from him. We'll look ahead to the Carlisle game as well. We've got Lee Rooney joining us from the Brunton Bugle to let us know how the Cumbrians are getting on. And then we'll hear from Nathan Jones once more to look ahead to that contest. Just before we hear the goals, Joe, I mean, that was a massive win for us. You know, bear in mind, let's say 20 minutes from the end when it was sort of in the balance. If that had swung the wrong way, we'd be 1 point outside the relegation zone. But we were able to hold on and grab 2 late goals, and now we're 7 points clear, which is a real big safety net. We're in 14th, which is remarkable.
Yeah, probably the most important 10 minutes of football at the end there that we'll have this season, those 2 goals. It did feel like classic Charlton at halftime. All those chances, 1-0 up. You were getting a bit worried that it was going to come back and bite us. And when the goal went in, and they got a little bit excited. You're like, oh God, here we go again. But we rallied. We came back and won a game that a month ago we probably would have lost, let's be honest. So it's a great feeling. I said before the game that I felt if we won it, that was it. We were okay for the rest of the season. You know, too big a hill, I think, for everybody below us to climb, especially with the momentum that we've got. So we can go into the rest of the season enjoying a mid-table plod in League One, which is not exactly the sentence we want to be saying, but I think is a lot healthier than many were saying after the Reading game and at the end of Appleton's reign. So, yeah, absolutely buzzing. Can't wait. Can't wait to peter out over the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's just the sweet release of a League One season petering out, which over the last couple of years we really didn't want. But anyway, we want to hear from you guys as well. Have your say in the chat. Good evening to Sam, All Hell Let Loose, David's in there, James, ND Miller, Tom. There's hundreds of you already in there. So good evening to all of you. Let us know what you made of Tuesday night's game. Put your comments in the live chat there. Let's have a listen back to the goals then from Charlton TV. Your commentators, as always, were Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
But it's cleared away, but a little drop to George Dobson. Ball inside to Coventry. Coventry, oh, it's a lovely ball inside to Tanae Watson. Watson across, Connor with a touch, and he scores! Lovely football from Charlton on that right-hand side. Good interplay between Dobson and Coventry. The ball through to Tanae Watson was superb. And his cross turned home by Daniel Carnu.
It's a wonderful move from Charlton to help
Dobson, it was inside to Coventry. Lovely ball to pick out Tanay Watson. It's a wonderful cross. And there's Daniel Carnu lurking in that penalty area, ready for the chance. He gets it for Charlton.
Once more for Cheltenham. They exert a bit more pressure on Charlton. It's good work from Thomas inside. Takes the shot, saved away and buried. It's Kirkham, I think, with the goal.
I have to say, to the last few minutes, I think the Charlton midfield have looked a bit tired. I think an example of that is the way that Thomas was able just to breeze past the addicts on that left-hand side. A bit of fresh legs since he's come on that side. And it's a wonderful effort. That's well saved by Iceland, and he's unlucky that it just falls to Circum.
So Backinson can't control it. It's cleared away, but it's good work from George Dobson to win it back for Charlton on this right-hand side. He's to send the ball into the penalty area. Coming in, it's good control, turn and shot from Backinson, and it's in! Lovely finish from Tariq Backinson. The ball into the box was perfect. Chest control into his own path, turn and shot. I got a feeling Southwood got a hand on it, but he couldn't keep it out.
Nathan Jones substitute makes the difference again. Backinson making the run in penalty area, well found by Dobson. Backinson just using his presence to control the ball down. And he just shoots and gets enough on the shot to guide it past Salford, who got a touch but couldn't convert. And Charlton have a big goal through Backinson.
Gillespie with the throw on the left-hand side. Down the line it goes. Touch coming in from Backinson, but Ladapo, but he couldn't hold on to it. But he gets the ball back, and in is he fouled there? No, not according to the referee. But in steps Small. Can he touch up May? May's got a finish here, and does. And Charlton have the third, and May has his inevitable goal against Cheltenham, and in this fixture.
Well, that should seal it. It's a man who doesn't want to celebrate, but inside he'll be delighted. Be absolutely delighted. Not quite sure the way how it happens, but Small just gets the ball. The pure endeavour for Thierry Small. He's kept going throughout the whole game. Has the presence of mind to find Alfie May and presents the chance for him that he just cannot miss. And Alfie May, that goal will mean so much to him. He won't score an easier goal, but he won't care. Charlton won't care. That's the third two-goal cushion now. With five added minutes, they'll be looking to secure those 3 points back to the Valley.
There we go. That's the Charlton TV highlights of Tuesday's win. Harrowing end to the game there with Thierry Small touching up Alfie May. But yeah, a big, big relief there, Lewis. Particularly the Tariq Backinson goal, you know, at that time where we had conceded 15 minutes prior. Cheltenham had a little bit of a spell after that where we felt a bit nervy. But yeah, the momentum swing with that goal in that game is huge for us. I don't think you can overplay how big those 3 points are for the side.
Massively, yeah. And away from home, given that I thought Cheltenham was starting to grow into the game and look more dangerous as they were building up towards their goal, they obviously get themselves back in the game, and then it's how we react, isn't it? And I felt that there was a little moment, maybe for sort of 10 minutes or so, where we looked a little bit nervy, looked a little bit shell-shocked. And, you know, the change from winning that game to drawing that game in terms of what that does to the table is quite big. So I was glad that we were able to react. I thought that the subs made the impact they needed. Obviously, Backinson got himself on the score sheet, which I'm happy for him because I think he's had, fairly, not like a full start, but it's been quite hard to judge him so far. He's kind of been in and out, maybe hasn't looked sharp, but for him to get that goal, that'll give him a big bit of confidence now. I just thought we looked fairly comfortable, bar that little spell in the second half. I thought we did look a little bit tired in midfield as the goal went in. As I said on the commentary there, I thought Caroy potentially maybe looked a little bit leggy. But apart from that, overall as a collective, I mean, that we're seeing a little bit more sort of a stable team now. We're seeing some consistency in that side, which is helping us. You know, we're starting to see unchanged sides. People that have maybe been in and out of the team are starting to cement places because they're performing really well. People like Edmonds Green, Tanai Watson, like they're all players that I thought played really, really well on Tuesday and on Saturday at Northampton as well. So it's good to see that we're seeing the changes now. We're seeing the impact that he's having on this side. We've picked up some seriously good results in the last couple of weeks with that really difficult spell against the sides near the top. We had a bit of I was disappointed Saturday when we dropped the points against Northampton, especially considering it was just the mistake that it was. So to come back from that and go and win and also put a bit of daylight in that win, not just scraping over the line, but to get a 3-1 and come away from there with that win against a side that are down there with us. Obviously, it's a big six-pointer. And as you said at the start of the show, we sit 14th now, which seems mental, but that's how tight it is down there. So it's important that we're picking up points against the sides around us to widen that gap. I don't think the job's done just yet. I think maybe after Saturday we can be a little bit more comfortable. But, you know, if you'd have said to me when Jones came in, I mean, at that point we were all pretty low and we were really fearing the worst. So now that we're looking, you know, a lot more safe and some people will consider we're safe now, I probably would. But like I say, I want maybe one more win to confirm that. But there's been some serious progress under Nathan. And you take where we were against Reading and where we are now, there's been some really, really good progress and I'm really, really happy.
Yeah, I think for me, two more wins will do it. So we're on 41 points now. If we can get up to 47, you know, two wins out of a final, was it 7-8 games plus a couple of draws, we'd be more than comfortable. I mean, James saying in the chat, it feels a lot more comfortable now. David saying it's nice to have a winning team at long last. Please may it continue until the end of the season. Obviously, results are the most important part of what was going to happen on Tuesday, Joe. But performance, again, another step in the right direction, particularly that first half. I mean, we'll talk more in depth about perhaps the chances missed later when we hear from Alfie. But chances created is certainly promising. Weirdly, we're probably more open than we have been for a while because Cheltenham had a couple of moments. But it was one of those games where it felt like there was a chance at either end every couple of minutes, particularly in the first half.
Yeah, I think we've looked a lot more solid defensively, but we haven't really been cutting teams apart too easily. Some of our goals, you could sort of argue, were a bit fortuitous in the way that they came about. It's just sort of been in and around the right areas and picking up second balls, but we cut them open a number of times with some real good quality passes and real good quality play. Even the first goal, the movement from Watson to find the space, the composure between Dobbo and Coventry to slow the game down and then go again, and obviously Kanu in the middle on the shoulder, that's a bit of play that's been worked on in my eyes on the training ground. And the more that they're getting those patterns in, the better that we are going to be as an attacking force over the rest of the season. And it's always the old adage, isn't it? If you come into a team that's struggling, especially one that's shipping goals for fun, sort the defence out, get a couple of clean sheets under your belt, although we've only managed one, but get a clean sheet under your belt. And then you can start building on the midfield and the front play. And it's starting to feel like it's coming together as a real unit now from front to back. Even with the likes of Anike out, you know, there's some of the results that we've had. I think we would all be saying Anike has been critical to getting those. We didn't need him against Northampton. We should have won that. We didn't need him on Tuesday. We did deserve to win that. So that is showing that it's not just that we have got players turning up at the right spots, but we can actually afford to lose one of our better attacking players and still create some strong opportunities. And long may that continue.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the opening goal was a good finish from Dan Carney, who I don't know if I'm misremembering this, but I thought other than the goal, he had a slightly quiet game. But let's talk about, I mean, obviously Coventry's pass, another one where we're starting to see some of the balls forward that we expected from Connor, and it took a few games, but it's arriving now, which is great. But let's talk a little bit about Tanae Watson, Lou. I made him my man of the match, actually, in the paper for tomorrow. But he got into some real good positions down the right-hand side. And his low cross, obviously, for Dan's goal was expertly measured.
Yeah. And you know what? We're seeing some much better performances from Tanae now. Like, he looked, I mean, I thought Tuesday, as you say, you had him as man of the match. I thought that was his best shift for us so far. I thought he was brilliant. I thought the ball was good. And he tried repeating that move a few times as well. I liked that he kept trying it, trying to create chances, trying to put the ball on the plate for the strikers. I mean, we could have been 6-0 up at halftime. It was outrageous. But he's starting to grow into with confidence, I suppose. Like, obviously, our results are much better. the confidence is growing among the team. And I think some players are kind of a little bit quieter, and maybe their confidence grows when the team's does, rather than relying on themselves to pick themselves up a bit. And I think he falls within that bracket, because I've at least come under quite a lot of criticism since he's come in. I've been one of his biggest critics at times, because I think, you know, I've seen him play before for other sides, and I've highlighted him as being a bit of a threat. Like when he was at MK and you had him and Kesler Hayden either side, they were brilliant. They were pushing for promotion, and there's always been that player in there. So to see, you know, Nathan come in and give him a real lift in confidence, the performances now we're starting to see, it's starting to justify the system a little bit more now, which I think we were all, you know, becoming frustrated with under Apples. And I feel we're seeing the better of that now. I think Thierry Small has helped coming in too, because he takes some pressure off and does the same job on the other side, which means we've got two good creative outlets now on the wings, but both of them are looking a little bit more defensively sound too. So, you know, I'm delighted for Watson. I thought he played really well. I thought he was good on Saturday as well. And I thought he played okay at Derby, second half especially. He went off injured, and it sounds like he's been playing through some pain and stuff, which maybe, you know, that's the stuff that we don't all see when we're criticising him, that he's playing for a pain barrier and trying to give his all for the shirt, which is really, you know, it's commendable given that we were questioning the attitude of these players, you know, 6 to 8 weeks ago, and looking at where we are now, that there's like a completely different group, you know, the same players, we all have completely different opinions of them now. I think I said on the show last week, it feels like a relationship is growing quite quickly between fan and player, which is something that is critical, especially when you're in the sort of muddle that we are. So yeah, look, delighted for Tanai Watson. Hopefully the performances continue. We keep seeing the best of him, and yeah, his confidence keep growing, because there's a player there. And if he can carry on at the level he did on Tuesday up in Cheltenham, then, you know, we're going to be a real beneficiary of what he can do.
Yeah, Stuart says, very impressed with Thierry Small. Let's sign him up on the longer contract. So I don't know if you saw the quotes that Rich put out earlier. Nathan didn't give a great deal away. I sat in on the press conference just to watch what he was saying. But, you know, he made it sound like we'd probably try and use that year option that's on the end, tacked onto the end of this deal. So I'd be very surprised if we didn't try and extend that now. It's our option. So I imagine he'll be here next season, Joe, based on what we've seen so far.
Yeah, and there's been a couple of little bits that he's a young man learning his game where you're like, oh, there's a little lapse in there, but you're nitpicking to find anything really that he's doing too wrong. You know, he's bounced back well from Nathan Jones wanting to deck him in his first 30 seconds on the pitch, and he's taken ownership of that left hand side. I think he'd be a massive loss if he wasn't available. And he's someone that I think really can be relied upon for next season. He's strong in defence. He's strong in attack. He's working hard. I mean, he's up there, I think, in terms of kilometres covered match to match. He's just constantly up and down. And that composure even at the end of the game, firstly, the desire to chase that opportunity down, win the ball, and then the composure to just spot Alfie May and put it on a plate for him. You won't find that too easily at League One. I'm astounded that he's not had an offer from a higher level. I'll be honest; I think he's more than capable of playing at a Championship level. And I don't think it goes unnoticed that both him and Watson playing a very good standard over the last few games has coincided with both of us looking stronger in defence and continuing to look stronger in attack, because they are pivotal positions. I said in the after the Reading game, I didn't think we could play three at the back, so I didn't think we had the two players. So I owe Tanai an apology on that one. And Thierry's come in and demonstrated that we had a great talent that we picked up in January. And I don't know who picked him up. My instinct tells me probably Jones, but whoever they are deserves a round of applause. That's an excellent, excellent acquisition.
Yeah, I think it will be Nathan, having, of course, worked with him at Southampton. Yeah, he's done very well so far. It's still early days. I mean, we've seen players come in and start really well and think, yeah, he can make higher level, and then they get Cheltenhamized and whatever. But it's been a very good start for him, and hopefully he can continue along that track. Yeah, Alex says a longer contract for Small must be one of the top priorities over the summer, along with a new goalkeeper. I mean, did you think Harry might have done better with the prod away for the palm away for the goals? Just to give you my view of it was when the shot came in, I was directly behind it. I don't know if it either went through legs or it went sort of around a player, but he certainly would have seen it late, but you still might have thought he might have got it further away, Lewis, or even held on to it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it was hard to see from the replays on Charlton TV. I mean, it looked slightly soft. I mean, if you're palming it away, you've got to try and palm it out of danger. Maybe you saw it late and didn't realise that the Sercan was there to follow up. but look, you know, I think he obviously made a bit of a poor mistake on, well, I'll say a bit of a poor mistake. It was an absolute howler on Saturday, wasn't it? Which it's out, you know, Nathan Jones obviously gave him a real grilling over it. Look, I like Harry. I think he's been good since he's come in. I think we were seeing a lot of frustration with Ash, and that change was needed. And obviously Jones has worked with him before at Luton, probably fairly briefly, but knows of Harry. So there's going to be that connection there. I do think that you do have to have, you know, you've got to have a strong keeper. You look at the teams at the top, they've all got quite strong goalkeepers. Well, I won't talk about near post Norris because we like giving him grief. But, you know, Harry has the potential to be a very, very good goalkeeper. You know, he played for Barnsley last season, the playoff finals, one of the best goalkeeping performances that I've ever seen. It was unbelievable. So, you know, he's been good for us. I just think maybe, yeah, he could have done better with a goal Tuesday. There was the mistake Saturday, which, you know, was absolutely outrageously poor, but he wouldn't have meant that. You know, it's just one of those things. But it's, goalkeeper, it's a difficult position, really, to go out there and find one. I mean, I'd be very surprised if they're looking to change the keeper, because I think maybe there's that existing relationship between Jones and Eisted, as I say. But who knows? I mean, it's going to be a hell of a rebuild in the summer, because Jones is going to want to bring in his own bodies. And it'll be interesting to see who and how these transfers come about, who has the say and what happens with Andy Scott, etc., how that's all going to work. Because, I mean, if we're looking at the recruitment in January and Jones is the one responsible for Thierry Small and Scott's the one responsible for Fiorini, then you know what way you want it to sway. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens in the summer for sure. But I like Harry. I think that he's once he plays more games, maybe he'll settle a bit more. I don't think he's had a huge spell with us. He started at the start of the season. He came in, got injured, had a long time out. He's come back in now under Nathan. What's it been? Sort of six, seven games under Nathan so far. So I still think he's going to have a bit of time to bed in and settle. But hopefully he can keep the place his to the end of the season and improve and kick on next year.
I mean, Lewis has mentioned obviously the rebuild that will have to happen in the summer. David said, thankfully, hopefully, fears of relegation have been dispelled. But let's not forget why we've been put in this situation in the first place. I mean, I guess that there will absolutely need to be a balance in the summer, Joe, of looking at whatever end to the season we're going to have. At the moment, it feels like it's going to be a pretty positive one. All the signs are pointing in the right direction with this squad. But also remembering, you know, maybe there's a natural level to this squad over the course of a season and the amount of turnover that I'd imagine Nathan might want to see, as well as trimming it down. He's mentioned that a few times.
Yeah, we could do with a bit of a, you know, a clear out again. It's frustrating to have to constantly rebuild. It would be quite nice to put some foundations in and then be thinking, oh, there's one or two we need to go and get in the summer. But the likes of Chucks, although it's great for the six or four game cameos that you get out of him a season. If we want four proper strikers and Dapo is not an option, then you've got to go out and get, you know, at least one, if not a couple, if you lose either Akanu or Leeburn. Obviously in midfield, there's a lot of endeavour and work rate, but I'm not sure how much creativity and good football in terms of carving teams open and a bit of a trick and someone that's going to do that thing that you don't expect. I don't think there's a lot of options there in the middle of the midfield to change it. And, you know, we've got the two fullbacks that look okay at the minute, but, you know, what depth is there, you know, behind them? We've only seen a little bit of Ramsey and at the back, we do leak goals. So there's not, I don't think, too many of the areas of the pitch that you could hand on heart say, yeah, we've got that nailed. And it sounds like Dobbo's definitely gone in the summer with his pre-contract. So he's going to be a huge character to replace. So it's going to be a busy summer again. Hopefully Jones gets the type of investment that that Scott and Appleton have frivolled away a little bit to rebuild this squad and make it what he wants. And hopefully it's a squad that's got two or three different ways of playing and a few different options about it. Because I think if we lost a couple of the players that we've got right now, Alfie May particularly, and Dan Kainu up front, you're going to be sort of scratching around a little bit for where you're going to rely on for goals and presence and attacking output. So, yeah, lots of work to be done.
Yeah, I mean, Rustos is saying, I hated Tene a few months ago. He was awful, but wow, what a turnaround. Fair play to him. He's been superb for Nathan Jones. All hell let loose is putting it out, saying, well, maybe the same could be said of Terrell Thomas, but ND Miller reckons that Thomas still looks shaky. Aaron says we should let him go in the summer. All hell let loose is probably a Marmite player, but that's sort of showing, like, where are the sort of levels. I mean, this is the point from Paul, really. He says Terrell Thomas has done okay, but if we have aspirations to get to the championship, he should be no more than a bench warmer at best. So there's obviously players in the squad. I'm sure there's other ones as well that people would like to talk about that are sort of, are they going to stay long-term sort of thing if we have aspirations? That's the sort of questions that I guess people will be asking. Right, I asked some questions on Tuesday. I spoke to the Addicts boss, Nathan Jones. Let's have a listen to his reaction to the game at Cheltenham. I also put those quotes from John Brady to him in here so we can see what he thought of those as well. Congratulations, a massive win tonight and well-deserved.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's a big win. It's a big, big win. Like, you know, if you look at the table now, we're in a far better position. You know, the points tally is far more healthy, but I thought we deserved the win. You know, first off, I thought we were really, really good. Second off, not quite as fluent, but they were always going to come out and make it really difficult. And then after them pegging us back, most people in the ground would have thought, right, they're going to go on and really put us under pressure. But I think it was the opposite. I think we really went after the goal again. That shows character, that shows quality, and I'm really delighted.
Yeah, I mean, the result was always going to be the most important thing, but again, it's another performance that you'll be pleased with today.
Well, we're building something. It's a foundation, you know, it's an absolute foundation. It's all we said, we could put in blocks now, and we've had our results. The last six performances have been excellent. I really am pleased on different levels. You know, as I said, go back to the Lincoln game. We're Lincoln in fine form, a real good side, but, you know, we dominated the game. Then we played the top three and got 5 points. And then we went to Northampton, should have won the game, and then tonight we have. You know, we're in a good place, in a good form. We've got a good squad. They're a great group to work with. I'm thoroughly enjoying working with the group every day, and it's a big win for the football club.
Were you baffled how it was only 1-0 at half time?
Well, not baffled. It's sometimes it happens. You know, you miss chances. But what I didn't want us to do is to fear and to panic, because then you don't get what you deserve. But we should have been 2 or 3 up half time. We had some clear chances, some good chances, but at least we're creating them. You just know now we've got to finish them, a little bit more clinical edge. But in terms of all round performance, really, really pleased.
And as you say, you have to show some character. When a team equalises with 20 minutes left to go, some teams could buckle.
Absolutely. And look, with the greatest respect, Charlton have conceded late goals in this season that just cost them points. So it shows that we can see out games, that even when we do get a knock, we can come back fighting. And it was exactly the same on the weekend. Even though we conceded, we were the one trying to win the game, and we shouldn't have been in that position anyway. So, you know, we bounced back from a really disappointing time, and I'm credit to Harry. I thought he was excellent tonight, and we bounced back from a disappointment on the weekend to have a wonderful win.
You mentioned about they've conceded a lot of late goals. Also, hadn't picked up many wins away from home, but you've got 7 points out of the last 9 from these 3 tricky away fixtures. What do you think has changed on that front?
Well, it's just the work we're doing. They're buying into everything. We're looking solid. We're disciplined. We're aggressive. Doing the basics far better than what they've been doing before. And look, and this side is a good side. It's a talented side. We've got youngsters who are coming in adding freshness. We've got people coming off the bench really motivated to do well. And we've got a real good structure, you know. I'm really pleased. I'm really happy with how things have been. We know in the year where we want to be, because we're a mile off the team we would want to become. But in a year's time, for example, if I'm doing my job properly, then we're not coming here and going back and in 18th place. And that's the thing we've got to build for.
You mentioned the word aggressive there. I mean, it was a word that John Brady used over the weekend about your side. He said they were kicking Mark Leonard. But is that something you're almost pleased
they
to hear?
They were what, sorry?
He said that your side were aggressive, and he implied they kicked Mark Leonard, apparently, after, yeah. Which, what's your reaction to that? And is it almost good to hear that he's seen a change in this side, that they can be harder to beat now, or harder to play against?
Look, I don't want to be disrespectful to anyone, and I haven't read the comments. I'd need to read the comments before I commented on them saying anything about Mark Leonard. I think we kicked anyone. We tried to win a football game. That's all we did. We missed chances and then we made a massive error which gave them a point. For me, I thought we were excellent. I thought we were excellent. Away performance, to go, to take the game by the scruff of the neck, I thought we were dominant, we were aggressive, and I want us to be aggressive. I can't remember any untoward things kicking, but hey, people see different things.
Yeah, but obviously, I've watched Charlton all season, and I've seen a difference in this side, that they are more aggressive in a good way. Is that something you'd like to hear?
Something that we have to. If they're not, then I'm not doing my job, and because everything I do in life is, or every opportunity that I get, I want to take and I want to go after and I want to be aggressive with a front-footed in terms of stuff. I want us to be a front-footed, high-pressing, hard-working team that goes and makes things really difficult for playing. I don't want people, anyone having a comfort, being in the comfort zone playing against Charlton. That's not what I want. So if that's what people see now, then brilliant. But that's what I want to create.
Red had to come off today. He looked like he was hurt. What's up with him?
Look, they're all playing 90 minutes. All we're doing is we're in a hotel or a bus or training or playing. That's all we're doing at the minute. Schedule's crazy. So it's going to be fatigue. They're going to have bumps and bruises. We want to be aggressive. They're giving me everything. So, yeah, it's natural. We'll just dust them down. We won't train. You know, we'll hardly train. We'll do a bit of tactical work Friday and then we'll be ready for Carlisle. And then hopefully we've got a 5-6 days before the next game, so we can give him a bit of a rest.
And finally, just on Chooks again, you're hoping he might be available today, but it hasn't worked out that way.
No, look, Chooks has picked up something which, you know, we can never rush. We can never rush anything with Chooks because he's a different specimen to other people. So we have to be careful and he's not available. And I said we're taking it day by day.
Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts, and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured, and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello fellow addicts, I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, the River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer. It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your matchday routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the River. See you soon.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. Just been looking back at the 3-1 win at Cheltenham Town on Tuesday. Hearing the thoughts of the Addicts boss, Nathan Jones there, Joe. The John Brady stuff. he was a bit taken aback by it. He obviously hadn't seen it previously, which was quite good. But I mean, Andrew pointed out that Leonard played 90 minutes on Tuesday as Northampton got absolutely thumped at Peterborough. As I put on Twitter, they must have given him a right kicking then, because they obviously can't play when that's what goes wrong for them. But as Russell says, I mean, I don't remember any kicking of Leonard. It's strange what other managers say after games. I was at that game. I have no memory of that at all, of people kicking anyone, really. I've not noticed us turn into a dirty side. And Nathan obviously was surprised to hear those comments as well.
I mean, we're not a dirty side. We're more streetwise. We're more combative. There's definitely more fight, more resilience. There's more desire, more passion throughout that team. But Northampton were thoroughly beaten by a the better side and were very lucky to get a point, I thought. So he'll say what he wants to say, but anyone who's looking at us under Appleton and thinks that we were a good footballing side is someone I don't give any credence to in terms of their footballing opinion. And I can understand it from his perspective. We were a great side to play football against a couple of months ago. I mean, if you were any manager in the world, you'd have been lining up against Charlton going, go out there and enjoy it today, lads. You know, get a goal ahead. They'll crumble. So he doesn't have that anymore. He got his nose a little bit bloodied. And you know what? If every side in League One hates playing against us next season, bring that on. I couldn't wish for anything more than that. There's been plenty of sides over the years that have done us. And you think, oh, we've got to play them again. Well, let's be that side for a couple of seasons and see where it takes us.
Yeah, David says that Nathan Jones tells it straight. Spam says he's such a compelling speaker. I watch every interview and press conference he does. And Rustoff says he speaks so much sense, doesn't he? He is, yeah, compelling is probably quite a good word. I do enjoy listening to his press conferences as well, just the way he speaks. Lou, one thing obviously I guess I didn't enjoy was on Tuesday when I asked about Chooks right at the end there. It sounds like he's suffering again. He was asked for further today and he gave very little away. He said basically, well, he's closer to coming back than he was 2 days ago when I was last asked. That was pretty much his answer. So he's not going to be giving anything away on that front, which will be a concern, unfortunately. Let's hope, but we know how one game's can turn into two, can turn into the rest of the season with Chucks. Let's hope that won't be the case, because, you know, even though the last couple we've done okay without him, he is still a big player for us and could be very useful if he is fit enough between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, you know, it's a big shame with Chucks. I mean, every time he comes back in, you get that natural lift. Everyone gets a bit of a lift. We joke about him being the cheat code of League One because he is, you know, he makes such an impact. I think we spoke last week when we were on about the percentage of points that we'd picked up with him in the match day squad and playing minutes and stuff, which is massive. You know, he's always been a bit of an impact player. I mean, even back to when he'd scored all those goals for us in our first season back in League One. But that was still a lot of that was from the bench. But at least he was playing a lot more, where it does feel like sort of this season and last, he's not been able to get through sort of more than maybe 10 games or so. It feels like we're being a bit more cautious with him this time than we have been previously. But yeah, obviously he picked something up against Derby, didn't he? And we haven't seen him since. And I hope that it's nothing serious and he can come and make an impact between now and the end of the season, because, you know, I really like Chooks. I think he works incredibly hard every time he comes on. That's probably one of his biggest downfalls, is that he pushes his body so much that he seems to injure himself and he doesn't really know where his boundaries are. Obviously, as Nathan said, he's a different specimen to the others, really, because of what he has to manage. And I'm gutted for Chooks whenever he gets injured. I hope that this time it's just caution and they're thinking, you know, that it's quick. It's Saturday, Tuesday, all the travel, like it's going to be no good for him. Maybe this is just a bit of caution to make him, you know, keep him set for the games that are a little bit, maybe the home games, maybe Saturday we'll see him because he hasn't got to travel as far as I don't know. But I hope he is fit and available. If he isn't and he is out and it's looking like a long-term one, then I think I'd like us to look in the free agent market, to be honest, as weird as that may sound, because I think, you know, Joe touched on it earlier. You only got to lose one of May, Kanu and Ladapo, and we're looking incredibly tight there. So we can't rely on Chooks to fill that gap at the moment. So look, fingers crossed he's in the squad in some capacity on Saturday. It'd be good to see. But yeah, as Nathan said, we can't push him. And if we can't push him, we can't lean on him at the end of the season. So for me, I'd like us to look in the free agent markets if we can get some more cover in that position.
Right, before we turn our attention to Carlisle, just one more thing I just wanted to cover off from Tuesday's game. It's now two goals in three games for Alfie May, who before that had only scored one in 13. So has he started to turn the corner? Let's have a listen to what he said to Terry after Tuesday's game, speak about his relief at finally being back on the score sheet over the last couple of weeks.
It is it's not obviously a nice thing to come back to your old ground where you were sort of loved, and I sort of give everything for them, and they know probably still now that they mean a lot to me. But God, I needed that goal, didn't I? Don't know what's up with me at the minute. when Thierry passed me the ball, I just thanked him so many times in there, and it was just nice to put it into an empty net. And probably another day I walk off the pitch with four or five goals. Listen, we was 2-1 up. He could have run to the corner flag, but nah, credit to him. He's got my goal tonight, and I'm absolutely delighted. I just needed probably something like that to have a kick start. Like I said, not I don't know if I'm sort of chasing that goal, and I know the pressure's on me to score. But no, that was, do you know what? That's probably up there one of my best goals. You know yourself as a player. I've played the game long enough, and I'm in and around obviously the top goal scorers. I think I've gone top tonight. So I know that I score goals, but when you're on a goal drought and nothing lands for you, you just need something to hit you. And prime example tonight, when you're getting that tap in an open goal, and I took a touch because straight away I was thinking, oh, I could put this over from 2 yards out. But look, listen, it's lucky that I got the goal, and we've got the points. I think you take the goals away from sort of my game, we all want to win. We know we're fighting, and it's a massive 3 points.
There we go. That's Alfie speaking to Terry after the game. He was pretty blunt about his own recent form, Joe. There was no, he wasn't hiding from the fact that, even in the first half on Tuesday, he comfortably could have scored 3 or 4 goals and finally got the tap in right at the very end. As I mentioned, that one goal in 13... and then he scored against Derby 2 ago, which is obviously a penalty, and now he's got his second in 3 games with that tap in. So he needs goals, but he obviously knows that as well. It's interesting that he's quite willing to speak about it, and he's not trying to hide from the fact that he knows his finishing hasn't been up to the level we've all come to expect, and he would have come to expect from himself recently.
Yeah, well, Nathan said it after the game, didn't he, that he was doing his old club a favour by just squandering chance after chance. But, strikers go through bad spells. And normally I'm fairly critical of strikers who can't put the ball in the net, especially when they're getting opportunities. But with Alfie, you know he's just having one of those periods. And he's scored so many goals for us already this season. You know he'll come good again. So the fans aren't going to start getting on his back, I don't think, too quickly. And it's quite nice that he sort of comes out and fronts it up and goes, look, should be better. There should be more. And sort of that bit of an understanding that fans will be a little bit frustrated with it. But he works hard for the team. He's not playing every single minute. He's adapting to a new role in a new system. But it looks like it's starting to click. And, another night, a few games on, he scores 3 or 4 in that game, and he's lapping up the plaudits. But it's got to be tricky going to your old side, bang out of form, really, in terms of scoring from open play, having only scored two penalties against them earlier in the season, so he's not scored from open play against them. And that would have been, in the back of his mind. And then the fans get on his back, he starts missing chances. So he's got that lovely settler now, and hopefully it's a lovely platform for him to kick on for the rest of the season and end the season in top form, so that when he's coming back next season, he starts the way that he started this, which, a couple of games out, but goal after goal after goal once he got his first. And that's what we'll be looking forward to, hopefully, this in the at the end of summer.
Yeah, David says Alfie must be buzzing now to get more goals. Alan says, you won't worry about him, he'll score. And as all hell let loose points out, Bradley Wright-Phillips had a goal drought for us because he started thinking too much rather than just putting the ball in the net. I vaguely remember him going about 18 goals without scoring in a season where he got 20-plus and we got promoted. These things happen. And with Alfie, he's always referenced that he scores in streaks, and hopefully now 2 goals in 3 games is the start of a streak and of him getting back to his best, because we all know what he's capable of. Right, let's find out what Carlisle United are capable of. Not very much from what we understand, but Lee Rooney from the Brunton Bugle will be able to tell us more. Welcome to Charlton Live. Lee, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Not exactly enjoying life in League One too much, but I think, as I said to you the other night, we probably got promoted a season too early. That's just the reality of it.
Well, I guess the good news is, if you aren't enjoying life in League One, is you probably won't have to worry about it for too much longer.
No.
Rock bottom of the table, unfortunately.
nine defeats out of the last 10. Where has it gone wrong this season?
We just weren't as good as everyone else. It's just a simple fact. We were able to recruit as well last summer compared against, you know, Stevenage, Northampton and Leighton Orient, who all went up. They obviously were able to start recruiting at the start of May. We obviously weren't until the end of May when we got promoted through the playoffs. Added to the fact that in the background there was the takeover rumbling, which we didn't know about at the time, but we found out in August that was coming. And I think the new owners would have much preferred to have got in at some point in the summer so they could have made those signings that they wanted to make. As a result, the recruitment just wasn't good enough last summer. Like, we've signed some pretty poor players. I mean, I know you guys didn't particularly rate Sam Lavelle, but actually he was probably one of the better performers for us this season, to be fair. He's played every single game. Out of all the signings we made, he's probably been the most consistent. The rest of them, we've been incredibly unlucky with injuries as well. Really hasn't helped things, you know. Signing Josh Coyote on loan for the third time from Rotherham, thinking, yeah, he's going to make a big impact, and dislocated his shoulder in the first game he played, but then played the second game without knowing he's dislocated his shoulder. And then he was out till January, and then he's had a calf injury after calf injury since then. So, you know, things like that going against us really haven't helped. And we haven't helped ourselves at times, but I think the reality is, I think for our fans, the takeover has been the biggest thing for us this season. That being sorted gives us potentially a really bright future, possibly.
Yeah, firstly, my deepest and most sincere sympathy for the fact that Sam Lavelle was one of your better signings in the summer. In terms of this season, it feels a little bit like looking at the league table. Yeah. It feels a little bit like it's a day late and a dollar short in terms of a great escape this season. But yeah. What is there? You've mentioned the takeover. What is there that you'll be looking forward to in terms of a summer rebuild and chances of bouncing straight back up this season? Or is this going to be a bit of a challenge to rebuild for you guys, having had the recruitment you have?
I don't. It's really hard one to judge. I'm always an optimist. I think that we've every chance that we'll come back straight back up next season. Maybe I'm being a bit over the top of that, but the amount of money they've already put into the club is like years ahead of anything we've had before. So we signed Luke Armstrong in January, excuse me, for £250,000, which is £100,000 more than our previous record, pretty much. Harry Lewis was £175,000 from Bradford. Paid money for a couple more. You know, they've really genuinely invested, and it looks like that's going to continue into the summer. Off the pitch, loads of stuff being invested in as well. It's the way I look at it is, I look at the teams that are going to come up from League Two next season, this season, if you're losing your likes of Wrexham and Stockport, that's two of the big spenders gone. Possibly not the kind of coming for the playoffs. You might have one of Mansfield possibly going up as well. A lot of the big hitters are gone then. And if we can get it right, there's a potential to actually do fairly well. I mean, I'm setting myself up for a fall here, I know that. But there is still a core of some good players there. They just look completely devoid of confidence at the moment. The problem is when we concede, as soon as we concede, we're not winning the game then. We haven't got enough to get two goals back into the game. It's very rare we've actually taken the lead in a game this season. You know, we've only kept two clean sheets all season as well, which hasn't helped things. So, yeah, it's been a challenge. I mean, there's been a few turning points in the season as well. When I look back, like Callum Guy getting injured against Leighton Orient in the FA Cup, massive, massive loss for us in midfield. He's such a good player, you know, holding midfielder, covers so much ground. He chips in with a few goals from distance as well. Until he got injured, I think we'd only maybe lost one game by more than one goal. All of defeats have been by a single goal. And then within a couple of weeks of his injury, we lost 5-1 against Reading. We lost 3-0 at Blackpool. We lost 3-1 at home. We basically started conceding goals for fun as soon as he dropped out of the team, and we sort of replaced him now, but the damage has been done by this point. So yeah, the kind of hope is that come the summer we'll rebuild really strongly. I think comparing it to the last time we went down, we're in a much, much better position to come back.
Hi Ellie, lastly from me then, obviously it's not been the best season for you guys, but who do Charlton fans want to be cautious of or need to look out for on Saturday? Who are your key performers that maybe Nathan Jones' side need to be a little bit more cautious or to mark out of a game? Have you got anyone that really stands out?
Not at the moment, no. No, in all seriousness, on our pod, we love John Mellish. John Mellish is, as I think I said last time on your pod, he's a box-to-box defender, basically. When you play a back three, he'll play on the left side of that back three and he'll just bomb up and down the pitch all day. He'll get pushed into midfield quite often if we're struggling to get a grip on the midfield, just to cause a bit of chaos. Incredible engine on him, gets up and down, really big fan favourite. He's well over 200 pins for us now. He's someone who can, if he can really get going, he can actually dictate a game. He's pretty good at that. Beyond him, Jordan Gibson's a real enigma. He's quite frustrating. He's got all the ability in the world, but sometimes he just doesn't quite track back and things like that. I think Simmer gets frustrated with him. He's a top scorer at the end of the day. He's obviously going to be a threat, you know, and he causes problems in that sense. But yeah, he's in out of the team at the moment, so it's hard to judge whether he'll actually even play at the weekend. I don't know. He came on as a sub against Reading and actually did really well. Beyond that, Luke Armstrong's looked quite good since we signed him. We're quite impressed with him, but he's just not getting the supply at the moment. That's the problem. Our midfield's been pretty run in the mill of late. Obviously, we lost Owen Moxon in January, which didn't help things either. But yeah, it's basically our aim till the end of the season is to get a little bit of pride back. We know we're going down. I think realistically, Paul Simpson knows we're going down as well. He's not stupid. He just wants us to get, you know, performances with a bit of pride. When we played Cambridge for the week and they beat us 4-0, we didn't play with pride that day. We were awful. We were absolutely dreadful. But when we lost 3-1 against Reading, we actually looked, we competed in at times, but Reading just looked a lot stronger than us. That's been the issue in too many games this season.
Hopefully next season will be a better one for you guys. Enjoy your trip down, Lee, on Saturday. I know you're coming down. Just to throw a question to you from All Hell Let Loose, because you are travelling down from Liverpool as well.
Yes.
Are you related to Wayne Rooney?
Sadly not, no. I can't tap him up for a tenner anytime soon, I'm afraid. Never mind. Yeah.
Well, you can be Liverpool's second most famous Rooney. Yeah. There we go. Lee, thanks for your time, mate. Might see you Saturday, but enjoy your day. And hopefully you can enjoy something for the rest of the season.
Cheers. Thanks very much.
There we go. That's Lee Rooney from the Brunton Bugle to look ahead to Saturday's home game with Carlisle for the Addicts. Let's hear what Nathan Jones has to say then before that game as well. We spoke to Terry earlier on today.
Well, Charlton did come with a bit of a price with Evans Green having to go off injured. Do we know the extent of his injury yet?
Yeah, look, it's not nothing serious in terms of that. So the way the schedule is and the games now, they come thick and fast, and then the travelling. Look, we're going to have bumps and bruises, but we're at the business end of the season, so that's just part and parcel.
Yeah, you mentioned the fixtures there. With Carlisle at the Valley on Saturday will be your eighth game in charge in a month. Has managing the squad's fitness over what's been and will be continue to be a fairly brutal fixture list, has that taken priority in terms of managing the fitness of the players?
Oh, look, we've had to, you know, really manage the schedule well. We've had to be very structured in terms of planning tactical days, recovery, rest, recuperation, and then doing enough training so that they can, they're fresh, two, they're sharp, but managing the workload. So it's been a meticulous preparation, and we've managed to do that. We've got excellent staff here. Players have bought into everything. They've been amazing, and that's why we've been able to produce the level of physical performance that we have.
And we take on a side that are bottom of the table with only 1-10 and 9 of those defeats. But after recent performance, there was hope that we'd get the win over Cheltenham. Now there probably is more of an expectation. Does that come with a bit of extra pressure?
No. Look, we're only in house. We're only, you know, the fans can do or anyone can say or do that won't affect us. What we have here is a way of working, and we take every game as it comes. We went to Cheltenham. We've got to think now. We have to, you know, back that up with another good performance at home, because we haven't won a home game yet. So look, we'd like to do that, but whether it's expectation, whether it's pressure, whatever it is, look, we handle that, and we'll be in. I'm sure in my tenure at the football club, we'll be in enough high pressure situations that we'll be able to handle. So this is just another one.
You mentioned there you've yet to taste victory at the Valley since your return. It'd be nice if it could be third time lucky, right? You've had two attempts.
It will be, yeah. But we've had, you know, two tough games. Lincoln are one of the form teams of the division, and we should have won that game. Then we took on the leaders, Portsmouth, and, you know, it was a real good League One game. So, we haven't, but that's the way the fixtures have gone. You know, we haven't had any easy fixtures, and not that there are any at this level, but Saturday is going to be a tough game, you know, and two teams with a lot to play for this season. So we've got to be the best version of ourselves, and that's all I can prepare.
Alfie May getting getting that goal, even though it was a tap-in, we mentioned it after the game. Doesn't matter how they come, but could that be important for Alfie going forward, just to get their confidence back?
I thought he was excellent in midweek. You know, he looked a threat all night. He had three or four chances, should have scored more, a little bit more composure he would have, but he was a threat, and that's what you want from strikers. What you don't want is when strikers are not looking like they're going to score. He looked like he was going to score all night, and that's really, really positive. And, you know, I spoke to him the other day because he had a bit down. He hadn't scored for you know, where it was, 10, 11, 12 games, or he hadn't scored for. But strikers go through that. He's just got to keep doing the right things. But he's worked hard. He's, you know, he's a real great lad around the place. He's clever, he's intelligent. So once we start playing well, then he will. And he'll start scoring goals again. And he has, 2 and 3. So that's the figures now. That's the thing. Without scoring in whatever it was, 10, 11, 12 games, now he's got 2 and 3. So it's totally different figures.
There we go. That's Nathan Jones looking ahead to Saturday's home game with Carlisle United. At the Valley, plenty to talk about. It's sort of on Reg, it sounds like it's a fatigue thing, and I'm hoping not an actual injury. So whether he's fit enough to start on Saturday remains to be seen, of course. Jonathan says, Carlisle's going to be an interesting game. Are we expected to win? Not been able to say that for a while. Will Jones go with the same 11 to show consistency? So I mean, that's the standard sort of team news and headaches we've got to discuss there, Joe. I mean, on paper, so Reg might come out based on the fact he came off. Are there any other changes you think? I guess it is interesting that Jones came back from his 2-game suspension and didn't start. He had to come off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, if Reg isn't 100%, then obviously you'd expect Jones or maybe even Heck to come in and take that starting berth. I would expect some different legs in midfield. I just think that we looked tired in that area on Tuesday. Not an amazing amount of time to recover. And then obviously you've got to go again. And potentially even a bit of a change up top just to give a little bit of freshness there. It's a good opportunity in a weird kind of way against a team that's conceded a lot of goals to maybe give Ladapo an opportunity to notch another couple as well and boost his confidence. So I do think there'll be some changes. We've got, in theory, a slightly easier run in now, but the Cheltenham of old, that's where we tend to come a cropper. We tend to do well against in the games you expect us to lose. But with that intensity, I think he can afford to make a couple of changes, give some players a little bit of rest and keep that intensity going for the whole of the season. Because although he can seem to go like an absolute dynamo and just have bundles of energy and intensity every single second of every single day, I'm not sure that every single player will be able to match that. So it'll be interesting to see if people get their opportunity to shine a little bit more on Saturday.
Yeah, just looking at the emails, Ray said just a few weeks ago, fans were saying that Corey Blackett-Taylor has not been replaced. After Thierry Small's recent games, those fans have gone strangely quiet, he says. P.S. Great show. That's from Ray. I guess obviously slightly different roles, but Thierry's certainly bringing some attacking sort of impetus down that left-hand side. Chrissy says, good to see you three boys. Just need to see Nathan and Twiglet Man and my week will be complete. Roll on Saturday. Well, Twiglet Man's coming around to mine for dinner tomorrow, I think, actually. So maybe I'll get some Twiglets in. Lou, on Saturday's game, the tag of favourites is unusual for us this season, I guess. Michael's saying, we just need to continue the positive performance we've been having. I'm not expecting anything. This is Cheltenham. Russell saying, I mean, this is the point. Losing on Saturday would be unacceptable. So Carlisle have literally lost 9 of their last 10 games. I think they beat Burton in that run with a Sam Lavelle goal at the right end. So it does happen. It happened against us earlier on this season. But yeah, the expectation. Again, I think 3 points and we're pretty much there. Not quite there, but pretty much there in terms of safety. But not winning Saturday would certainly undo a lot of the good work and good momentum that we've picked up under Nathan.
Yeah, it would. I think it's an interesting position for us to be in, given that we'd lost so many and hadn't won for so long, going into a game as favourites, you know, sort of obvious favourites on paper. It will be interesting to see how we manage that expectation. But look, we're at home. We should be playing with good confidence. Obviously, Carlisle are really, really struggling. And you know, given where we've been, I always feel like it'd be harsh to say it'd be unacceptable to lose, but I do think it would be. I think we need to start aligning our expectation with where they should be, especially at home, like back on home soil, off the back of some really positive results. You know, the Valley could be rocking. Be good to you know, try and seal that safety or get closer to that safety by getting the win on Saturday and trying to get a bit of a run together, because these are the sides we want to be beating now to really pull away. You know, we said it on the pod a few weeks ago that you beat these sides, they're all 6-pointers. And even if we don't really consider ourselves in it anymore, we want to be as far away from that drop zone as possible, even come the end of the season. So we can look back and be like, you know, when Jones came in, we were level, we were out of it on goal difference, and we ended up finishing the season X amount of points clear of it. And it gives that positive momentum going into next season. So I think it's still quite a big game on Saturday. You know, we had it earmarked when we looked at the remaining fixtures the other week, and we listed out the sort of bottom 8 clubs' run-ins. These were highlighted as 6-pointers. I still consider them as 6-pointers now, even if we do feel like we're that little bit safer now. So yeah, for me, it's a must-win still. And the expectation will be for us to be leaving SE7 on Saturday with 3 points.
Yeah, Sam's asking in the chat, how's the graph looking now? Playoffs, here we come, fingers crossed. No. the graph currently has us staying up, though, which is a nice change from where it's been for a while. We've ticked back above the amount of points you need to stay up on a games points per game ratio, which is lovely, a lovely position to be. I've never been this happy to be 14th in League One. Normally hate it, but I'm loving it this month. just such a relief. CFC West on Charlton Life has said apparently Millwall are at home on Saturday, 3 o'clock as well. So that's concerning. But he says he can't remember the last time that happened. Well, we'll see how that works out. I'm sure we'll all be fine. Right, we've run out of time on this week's big match preview. Finally, one where we're talking about an away win that I've actually seen in the flesh. So long may that continue. Looking forward to Saturday's home game with Carlisle as well. Let's just get these last 6 or 7 points we need as soon as possible. And let's just try and relax for the rest of the season. Let's lay some groundwork. Massive thanks to everyone who's joined us live on the show on YouTube this evening and put your comments in the chat. Really enjoyed speaking with all of you guys. As always, big thanks to Lee from the Brunton Bugle for joining us earlier as well. Joe and Lewis, a pleasure as always.
Cheers, lads.
Yeah, been great fun.
Yeah, good to speak to the pair of you. So I'm Louis Mendes. Don't forget, we'll be back on Sunday morning, 10 a.m, to look back at that game with Carlisle. So we'll speak to you then. But this has been Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. We'll see you again on Sunday morning.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.